Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
We continue today our study of 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And the first six verses where the Apostle Paul describes his own ministry to the Thessalonians, much of which they had already experienced and could testify that the things he was saying are true, though there are certain elements that only God can know for sure, God who knows the heart. But it is interesting to see how Paul described his own ministry in Thessalonica and by implication, said, this is how I minister everywhere I go. And so how did he describe his ministry? Number one is effective. That was amazing. It really is. Study carefully the ministry of the Apostle Paul, where he went and what happened when he preached the Word of God. And you can only come to the conclusion that the Holy Spirit was empowering and making the ministry of the Apostle Paul unusually effective. Very few ministers have ever had the fruitful results, the obvious results from their preaching ministry that the Apostle Paul had. God had called him to be the apostle to the Gentiles. God empowered him to be successful in that. And nearly everywhere he went, souls were saved and churches were established, and even in a couple or three of the cities that are recorded, and not everyone I'm sure is recorded in the book of Acts, but in two or three of the cities that are recorded that Paul went to and did not establish a church, we still find that a handful of people were saved. And the evidence is, when you look at that carefully and and read the description of what happened to these people's lives, how their lives changed, you have to come to the conclusion that these are genuine Holy Spirit-wrought conversions. They are not mere professions of faith. They are not mere decisions. They are not merely people who walked an aisle and prayed a prayer and signed a card and went away and nothing changed. These are people who were truly changed by the power of God through the preaching of the Apostle Paul in an unusual way, and it happened everywhere he went. Some places to greater numbers than others, but everywhere he went. And I don't know many preachers that can honestly point to those kinds of results, that can say, I know my ministry has been effective because. And I'm confident that one of the reasons why we have resorted to counting decisions rather than conversions. We want to quick count them. If they make a decision, we count them. They were saved. When so many times the evidence is they weren't. It takes a little time to tell. But I'm confident that one of the reasons why we have resorted to that in our day is because the truth of the matter is there is so little true spiritual power, so little evidence of the Holy Spirit of God working through churches, working through ministers, that in order to avoid embarrassment, we have to find some way to manufacture results and report results so that at least we can give the illusion of being effective, and we can convince a lot of people that we are effective, people who don't know any better, people who aren't very well taught in Scripture. But the truth of the matter is that in so many cases, the evidence is that there has not been any true conversion. There isn't evidence of changed lives. It's so much of it is just PR work, public relations work. It's claiming things that are not true. And that's exactly what we're dealing with in the last of the descriptions of Paul's ministry in verses 5 and 6, where he tells us that his ministry was unpretentious. There were no unjustified claims, were no excessive claims. He just didn't do that. The claims he made were genuine. If anything, he understated rather than overstated the results of his ministry. I pause now to welcome you to this Tuesday, April 16 edition of the Beacon Broadcast and to thank those whose financial gifts keep us teaching on this station. Well, he said his ministry was, number one, effective, number two, courageous, number three, approved of God, and then number four, the one we're dealing with now, unpretentious. And the first item that helps describe this broader category of unpretentious is that he did not use flattery. He refused to use flattery. Verse 5, for neither at any time did we use flattering words, as you know. Now, what are flattering words? They are words that are designed to make people feel good about themselves, but they are not sincere. They're not genuine. It's not because we are honestly seeing things in people that we admire and that we appreciate and we want to encourage them about, but it is that we want to produce a certain result. We want to manipulate people to respond to us in a certain way, and so we flatter them. That's more common than it ought to be among Christians. I still remember years ago when I heard about a very famous preacher who was coming to the town where I lived in another state at that time. And I don't remember now who suggested that we go listen to him. I think it probably would have been one of my friends. I don't remember who it was, but I remember going to this church that I'd never been to before. A large church, large auditorium, and large congregation had gathered to hear this well-known preacher. But before he preached, the pastor got up and did what people later told me was his regular practice, which was to spend about 15 or 20 minutes just bragging on this person because they did this and this person because they did that. I mean, he went through a whole list of people in his church that he had flattering things to say about. I had never heard anyone take that to such an extreme before in my life. Really? I guess I just hadn't been in churches like that. I'm not saying that it's illegitimate to ever commend someone for doing something good. I think there is a place for that. The Bible says we ought to give honor to whom honor is due. But to just go on and on and on for 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes in every service. We want to thank brother so-and-so for this, and brother, sister, and sister so-and-so for that, and this wonderful thing that was done here, and this wonderful thing that was done there. It was a large congregation. There were hundreds and hundreds of members of that church, actually, I think several thousand. And so he had a large list of people, but it became obvious to me just sitting there in one service that at least a big part of the attraction of that church, why people went there, was to get their egos stroked. This pastor knew how to flatter people in such a way that they would feel really good about themselves and really good about the church and really good about the pastor, but were they getting the truth they needed? It's good to have honest and honorable things that are good that can be mentioned. They ought to be from time to time. We have different months of the year that we highlight different ministries, and so one month we'll highlight the Sunday school ministry and we'll mention the workers who are involved in that. We put list them in the bulletin. We don't have time to read all those names in the service. That would be taking too much time away from the worship of God. But we do at least print those names in the bulletin so that people will know who's serving and can thank God for them, and do that through a lot of ministries. Try to, in the course of the year, at least one time every year list all of our workers somewhere in our bulletin so that people will know who are the nursery workers. Pretty good list of those. We thank the Lord for these dear ladies who are willing to volunteer one time a month, and we have a large group so that we can keep down the number of times that anybody has to serve. And it's good for people to know that, but so in that way, we try to keep the right balance. It's appropriate to give honor to whom honor is due. It's appropriate to express appreciation to people who are faithful to volunteer and serve the Lord in important areas of ministry, and all areas of ministry are important. But it is not good to use flattering words. It is not good to just pump and pump and pump and pump and pump people up just really because it's for what we get out of it. It's what it really is. That's the difference. In the case of appropriate honor, you do it in a measured way, in a moderate way, because it is appropriate. But in flattery, you just are going overboard. And to anybody who's observing this, they can tell the difference. Now, the person who's being flattered may not tell the difference. They may really feel like they're worthy of all this excess praise. It really tends to feed our ego, doesn't it? We all have that. We all have an ego. And the more immature the Christian may be, the more likely they are to eat that up and to gravitate to it and to want to be someplace where that is going on, but not to your spiritual good for it to be overdone that way. And so Paul said, no. I no flattery, as you know. I don't do that. I don't design my message to make people feel good about themselves. I design my message to tell people the truth. And sometimes, I have found that sometimes messages that I thought would really discourage people because of the unpleasant truths that we were talking about from the Bible, not telling them anything that wasn't the Word of God, but still aware that this could go down hard. This may be hard to swallow. This may be stepping on people's toes. But I have been surprised at how many times, even after messages like that, people would come to me and say something like, yes, you stepped on my toes today, but I really appreciate it. It was so helpful, and I was encouraged by that message. And I'm thinking, wow, of all the sermons I preached in the last few weeks, that's the last one that I would have expected to encourage people. But you see, people who love the Lord and love the Word of God and love the truth are encouraged when they are confronted with things that they need to deal with. But people who are immature, carnally minded, to some degree, and in some cases not truly converted, so it's to a great degree, are the kind that love to hear things that flatter them, but are loath to hear anything that convicts them. And Paul said, I didn't come to you with flattering words, I came to you with the truth. If the straight-out truth makes you feel good, well and good. If the flat-out truth makes you feel bad, I'm sorry, but the truth is what's important, not how it makes you feel. You don't come to church to feel good. You come to church to hear the Word of God. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying, good day. May God give you His eternal peace.